Okay, so this is our first chabura of the season, of the summer. So, yes, as you can tell from the Mar Makomos, we'll be starting with the sugya of chinuch. So as you went through the Gemara, so a lot of the Gemara, a lot of technical details, which we will be getting to in the second half of the sugya. But the first half of the sugya, as you saw from Mar Makomos, so we're going to be dealing with the broader issue of chinuch and its nature at large. The reason why we're discussing now, not just because it happens to be, because the word chinuch is mentioned, but really, as you probably saw, a number of the Rishonim really, on our sugya, really branch off to start talking about the larger chinuch topic. So, with that, we'll start off this time just reading the Mishnah, and then we'll get straight to the Rishonim on the topic, and we'll read the Gemara and relevant Shachar Tarya about specifically the chinuch of Yom Kippur, when we get to that part of the sugya. So starting off with the Mishnah, anyone want to take it?
Sure. Hatinokus in Me'aninusa V'yom Kippur. About Mechamech and
Mesela. Yes, what does that mean?
Okay. Children?
Yeah.
You don't...
Is it inui, literally affliction? Basically, we don't afflict them.
You don't make them do the Yom Kippur stuff.
Which is referring to the Hamisha Inuyim, exactly. All the Inuyim, Shikulim, Achilim, Shtia.
About the Chanukah, Lefnei Shana, Lefnei Shnasayim. But you make them do Chinuch for them either a year or 2 years before Rishvah Shalaya Reginim Mitzvahs. Because that's when they'll be regular in Mitzvahs.
Yeah, so they'll become accustomed to Mitzvahs. Again, obviously, the details of the Shana, Shnasayim, is a very detailed and festive part of the Gemara, but we'll hold off on that for the moment. I'm sure you guys aren't too upset about that. So here you have, basically, the Mishnah introduces one of the few cases in Shas, not so few, but a number of occasions that basically the Mishnayos and Gemaras discuss the mitzvah of Chinuch applying to a particular mitzvah. So here you have the mitzvah of Chinuch applying to Yom Kippur. So already on the Mishnah, basically a number of Rishonim basically raise a major question. They basically say, how does this mitzvah of chinuch in general square with our psak? Which psak do they ask from? Katan ochol nevelos. What's the psak?
Bezin doesn't stop him.
Exactly. So which basically means that when a katan is about to eat a nevela, right, about to violate an iser, we don't stop him. So that at first glance sounds like there is no mitzvah of chinuch, right? As we pointed out in Seder, as the Tosos in Nazir formulates it, it's like, you can even say it's a kavachomer. Meaning, if we're not going to prevent a katan from violating a lav, a los aseh, which is generally even more chamor than mitzvos aseh, then why in the world are we applying the mitzvah of chinuch to a mitzvos aseh here? So basically, it seems like, even before getting to any of the details, the major question, is there even a mitzvah of chinuch on the books at all? Again, our sugya implies that there is a mitzvah of chinuch, not like the whole sugya here. But the psak, welcome back. But the psak of our psak is a machokas. We'll get to that in a second. But the machokas, our psak in the case of katan ochel nevelos in beis mitzvah lafrisho implies that there is no mitzvah of chinuch. So the question is, what's going on? We want to see that when Rishonim answer this question, the way they answer this question is by limiting the scope of the mitzvah of chinuch in such a way to ensure that it no longer contradicts the klal of at katan ochel nevelos in beis mitzvah lafrisha. So the first approach, the first limitation offered by the Rishonim, as we'll see in just a moment, is that the mitzvah of chinuch is limited to mitzvos aseh, and therefore the clear resolution to that stira between katan ochel nevelos and mitzvah of chinuch is that mitzvah of chinuch is limited to mitzvos aseh. And the Gemara and our psak of katan ochel nevelos in beis mitzvah lafrisho is basically saying there's no chinuch by lo sase. If a katan is about to violate a lav, you don't have to stop him. So let's just see this question and answer right on the page in Tosos Yishan. Anyone want to read it inside?
Sure.
Can I go for it?
Start from the beginning.
I should skip a little bit to Ve'im Tomar. It's probably like 10 lines down.
Should Tomar Hadamir?
The Tosos Yishan and Dimas with Ben Shmona.
The Tomar, any
Tosos? Sorry, everyone with us? It's the first Tosos Yishanim on the page. No.
Ben Shimona.
Ben Shimona, at least Tosos Yishanim in Pepe is an hour. Okay, so the Tomar, probably 10 lines down, at least in my version. He basically presents the Kasha, go for it.
The Tomar, he'll ask, Hadamir, Choldochas, this is at least said everywhere. katan ochem the velos, that a katan eats the velos, ain bezin mitzayven lafrisho. Bezin isn't required to make him separate. Hasha now chanuche mechan chinan. If we are obligated to do chinuch, is it a question that we have to make him separate from Israel? Of course we have to.
So again, it doesn't explicate it clearly, but it seems to have like you know a hint of a kavah chomer, meaning. If you're going to be mechanechim for like a mitzvah, say like here, so then of course you stop him from doing iser, and just in the general idea of lavin being more chamur than esin, that's a classic you know, litmus test for that is just the onish, right? You get malchus for a stam lav, and the bittel essay doesn't really have an onish. That's just one clear. Yeah.
There's got to be some like this is maybe a secondary question, but there's got to be like some. That you do stop a katan for, right? Like he's stealing something, or like he's about to hurt something,
yeah,
right? Like there,
yeah, 100%.
Even though there's not a correlate, even when the person, when the person being done to doesn't, there's no like I don't know, correlative halakhic right. They're probably
yeah. So I think, as Rami pointed out, the case of Geneva, meaning obviously you can't allow a katan to have you know have an adverse impact on someone else. So in the case of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, yeah. For instance, like in the realm of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you know, stealing or damaging, whatever. So again, I don't have a Mar Malkum off the top of my head, but I'm assuming we would prevent that.
So it's only Bein Adam L'Makom.
It's like Nevelos.
Right.
Yeah, but like a Bein Adam L'Makom where it's just the mitzvah of Chinuch, the only value, it's like an isolation, whether we want to be Mechanech, you know, the Katan, if that's the only issue at hand, so then the Psak of Katan Ochel Nevelos doesn't apply. That's a good question.
Could we not stop?
Yeah.
Like, if you just see a katan going
into
the Beis HaMikdash and start taking stuff, like we wouldn't care.
That's
like Geneva. I think it's not from the Beis HaMikdash, so it's not.
So again, when you're having when there's an impact on something else, that's probably a totally different discussion. But again, the issue of katan ochel nevelos is when the only issue is, let's say, Bein Adam L'Makom.
Right. If he's treif, it doesn't really affect anybody else.
Exactly. That's what. Yeah, but it's a good question. But
if he's like committing idolatry.
So again, presumably that'd be the same thing. I would assume it's the same. I would assume.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would assume that.
Well, what was the story behind that? They're trying to provide like a logic.
Well, just
so we're gonna get to that. Well, we're gonna get to that right now. But we have to get to. Meaning, we just saw the question. We'll see. We're sort of jumping.
Can you bring?
Yeah, just reread the first.
Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Mimitz.
This is the Uraim, if anyone is wondering.
The
Uraim. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz is also one of the Baitoses, but also the Uraim.
The Chinuch lo shayach ella shi'as a mitzvah. Chinuch is only applicable to do a mitzvah. Lo perushay mitzvah, not to separate from an iser. And then he's bothered by our Mishnah.
What's the implicit question?
The question is, our Mishnah, seemingly, we're telling Chatan, don't eat,
exactly.
Don't drink.
Sounds like a lot.
So the on the Korean Hacha Chinuch, our Mishnah is telling you to afflict yourself. It's not separate from Israel, don't eat. Because Yom Kippur has two aspects. It has an aspect of don't eat, but also do afflict yourself.
Okay.
So should we start?
We'll fine-tune that a little bit, just what
we didn't say.
It's not just, where it's not a factor of refraining from eating. Ella,
who chinuch shemechan chenosav mitzvos of anisas lashoshechem. Rabbi Mechayach in the mitzvah of afflicting himself in Yom Kippur.
Okay, so we'll get back to that point in a moment. I feel like if we better flesh out what exactly the chiluk is, we'll better be able to understand, you know, the importance of its application to Yom Kippur and Nisim. So we'll hold off for that in just a moment. But basically, this answer, which is the first day of the Uraim in the Tosfos Yeshanim, and you also probably saw it in the first day. In the Tosfos in Nozir Chavchasim Abayz, the Ramas called Bino In, and also the second day and the accepted day in the Rashban Yavamos Kufyadal. They all are basically giving the same answer that the way to resolve this stira between Katan Ochel Nevelos and Mitzvah Chinuch is that the Mitzvah Chinuch is limited to Mitzvos Aseh. But the one exception, all of these Rishonim basically just mention the Chiluk. They just say, oh, Chinuch applies to Mitzvos Aseh. But doesn't apply to Mrs. Los, I say. But with the exception of one Rishon, they don't explain why. You know, why is that the case that the mitzvah chinuch is limited to Essen and not Los, I say, especially if the question already hinted to the fact that generally Los Aseis are more chamor. So why is it that Essen are, in this context, you know, treated in a more chamor fashion by having mitzvah chinuch? So I've sort of hinted already. But which of the Rishonim that I had you see in that first, you know, section, people were saying, oh, they're all saying the same thing. No. Tosas Rosh, exactly. So if everyone can turn to the Tosas Rosh or look on someone who has it, he has one, is a couple lines where he is the only Rishon who explains this chiluk, and it's going to be very important to try to understand what exactly he means. Exactly. That's according to our Psak. That's a machokis Tanayim and Omarayim in the Gemara there in Yevamos, but according to our Psak. Yeah, just because the noise, but we'll see.
They stop noise.
Oh, okay. There's also an air conditioner.
Whoa.
Yeah. Just on button.
It's going to be so cold.
Okay. Or lower.
72.
Yeah.
72.
Can you lower it?
68. Well, we're assuming that this is actually going to be successful.
In years past, it doesn't really work because the insulation is not great, but psychologically, when you hear the air conditioner going, it makes it feel better. Okay, so we want to get, we have an end time by the Sichas Moser, just want to make sure we get moving here. So, if everyone can move to, basically turn to the Tosa Rush, if you can see it inside, it's very important how he explains this. Like, why is it that Mitzvah Chinuch only applies to Mitzvah Aseh? So, go for it, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I know something, but...
Yeah.
Kippur is
a mitzvah. So that's where, so that's what the Tosas Yishanim points out, and the Rishonim will point out. We'll get to this in a moment, but really, it's an asay of v'inisim es nafsho secha. It's really a positive kiyum of inui. So although it seems to be a lowest asay of don't eat, but really, we'll get to this in a couple of minutes.
Is there a term for something that's like next to an asay or something?
So it has.
What?
So this is more than necessary. We'll see. This is really a key, I say. We'll get back to that in a moment. But yeah, v'inisim es nafsho secham. Basically, is that by refraining from the inuyim, somehow there's a positive kiyum of inuy, of being ma'ana yourself.
Are there two different mitzvahs? And because there is a mitzvah.
So it's actually not so clear. That's the onish. You'll see. There's actually no azar.
There's no azar in Yom Kippur.
There's no azar on the Yom Kippur. The Gemara in on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph discusses this. We'll get to this in the later part of the summer. There actually is no azar, which makes the fact that it's mitzvah saseh of minisman nafsho secham all the more important.
Do you say
defining?
If no azar, there's only an onish.
That's the Gemara payoff. We'll get there. It's a unique case where there doesn't seem to be an azara, and yet there is an onish.
So it's curious for a bit of say.
The Gemara payoff. We'll get there. Let's not jump the gun. Stage at a time. I don't want to get too. We'll get back. But yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go for it, Brian. But you just we'll skip the question at the moment to see if it's here. It's a rubber.
Yes, Rabbi. Elias and Mitz. The alpha of the end beach from the Sermon of Fishing, and they have to take the rest of the thing from him. In Rosh Olchal Dalvers, right? Even they have to take it, they don't have to take it away. If they say the initial thing, they have to educate him. They should argue with Mitzvos in order to be accustomed to him, I suppose.
See, here's the key line.
In Rosh Olchal Dalvers, Dalver Isser. Well, Mr. Pachli, you'll argue about every now and then you eat something bad. It's not going to go off. It's not going to go off for that.
Exactly.
Aval, sir. Machanach and Mitzvos, you'll argue about him.
So in your own words, what's the distinction that the Rosh is drawing between Essen and Los Aseh?
It seems okay. It does a Los Aseh every now and then. It's not going to be that bad. But an Aseh, you want to get accustomed to it, doesn't
make that much sense. Okay, excellent. That's what we'll spend the next couple of minutes on this chiluk. In short, the Rosh has this chiluk, which basically says, the reason why chinuch only applies to Essen and not to Los Aseh is because the violation of a lo sase is only b'mikra. It's a happenstance. But by encouraging, let's say, a katan to do mitzvah's essay, somehow that's going to create a certain momentum, a certain regilus, which will carry with him when it becomes a gadol. So the question is, what does that mean? I mean, why is it that lo sase is, the violation of an essay is b'mikra, and somehow assay is not mikra, and that's, consider it creates a regulus. Does anyone have an understanding as to what exactly this chiluk is?
It's psychological. But.
So, yeah, first.
No one's perfect, so you can expect, and once you can't expect everyone to never do an assay, focus on the good stuff.
But if you do it
in
your
house,
you can detect it.
Since no one's perfect, then you can't expect anyone to like not do a los ase.
Simple. I mean, why should you care? Why should we go more lax, in, according to your understanding, for los ase than by essay?
Because you can't expect them not to do every essay.
You can't expect everyone, it's not realistic to do every essay.
Right, but you don't have to do every essay, no?
But no, but you do. Meaning, for the mitzvah of chinuch applies to every essay that's applicable for a katan. And okay. Again, you have to, again, whatever you're going to say has to tie into the lashon, tie into the, yeah, every... Every classical essay that is shayach for a katan to perform, that's a chinuch of
bias. That's what they're
just.
According to this logic,
we didn't really offer any logic yet, but yeah.
That one time should really be enough to make a rabbi the dove, or one time of mitzvah make a rabbi the dove. Right, that's basically the question of the point.
My question?
Yeah.
Oh. My question is really, what's the difference between essay and an essay?
He says, they're regulars.
What?
I'm
saying, but let's say, meaning he can end up eating nevelos a lot of times and doing a lot of the meaning. Why?
So he would say yes, and then he'd say that there would be a mitzvah. That's what I'm saying.
Because, man, the halacha is clear. The mitzvah chinuch applies to essen and doesn't apply to los essen. I mean, the reason for that is because the category of essen is more regilus, has more regilus,
right.
And the category of lavin is defined as nigra. So we're trying to understand why it's not. We don't say, oh, by the 10th time you eat the nevela, then all of a sudden it's in the suvim and frisha. Which is not true. I'm saying that, meaning you'd have to find that. I mean, I don't think that's what he's saying. He's trying to define, he's saying, oh,
I mean,
what?
The time for the
yeah, but I think he's trying to explain why chinuch never applies to lavin. Because, and yeah. He had to explain, because lavin are always mikra. So now I'm trying to understand, why is that?
Don't we say that the Yetzer Tov only enters a person at Bar Mitzvah?
A Yetzer Tov?
I think it was Yetzer Tov. And someone develops a Yetzer Tov at Bar Mitzvah, no?
I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
So you can sort of say maybe that that before Bar Mitzvah he has Yetzer Hara. It doesn't have a Yetzer Tov. So it's mamish, like, you know, you can't expect him to, you know, to refrain from the lois asa. But for the asa, you can sort of force a sort of pseudo yetzer tov onto the kid,
doesn't sound like that's what the Tosafot says. I don't take one more suggestion because
the
shvat.
You would have a hard time.
So he says
one time.
Says, you know, misrach b'hafi, right? So maybe he's saying that. A katan who really has no exposure to, you know, Torah mitzvos won't be so, you know, so from when he comes to his bar mitzvah. But somebody, a katan who, let's say, has, you know, been keeping Shabbos and has some connection to spirituality, and so he eats on the meal every once in a while, but, you know, he doesn't really know much better. So it would be a lot easier for him to.
But why is the chilek between lavin and
essay? Shabbos is a lot to say.
Can
I trust me?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, on a regular day, a person is bombarded with far more essays than less essays.
Okay.
I think. So the first, start with what person has more often. It's more important to start with the essays.
What?
Person has essays much more often. I think you start with the essays, much less essays.
Okay.
Oh wait. A regular cousin isn't going to probably do that many less essays. But
I see kind of what I'm saying, right?
Okay. Sort of, but I'm saying, so it's not as big a deal if you don't stop it.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what...
Okay, that's sort of, yeah, okay. So, let's just, I want to cover a certain amount of ground. There's always that balance between having ground and participation, so we'll try to work it out as we go along. But, yeah, okay. All right, so the question exactly is, what exactly is the svara behind this chilek between asin and los asin? Los asin is based on the Rosh's chilek between mikra and regulus. So I would say the first approach, I think, is what you don't remember me getting at, is I would say, I'll call it the technical approach, is that what the Rosh means is that technically, basically, lavin come along much less often than essen. So why is that the case? Maybe, perhaps, to sharpen a little bit, is because if the mitzvah of chinuch applies to essen, that means that we, as the gedolim, will encourage the katan to be actively osek in various mitzvahs. So therefore, he will be exposed to a number of mitzvahs and will now create a system of regilus. Mashenkin, if the mitzvah of chinuch were to apply to lavin, the mitzvah would only apply when the katan would bimikra, you know, be about to violate a certain law.
Mm-hmm. So
basically, exactly, that's the idea. I mean, a certain, you know, how often does a katan see, I know, an avela, you know, lying around the house? I would say the simple interpretation of the Tosa Rush is that it means it very technically. That really just the frequency of Essen is greater than the frequency of lavin. And again,
Shabbos.
What?
It's the only way he's about to do it, though.
We'll get to that in a second. So according to this, I would say the simple interpretation we'll reject it and or ask the question on it in just a moment.
If it's so unfrequent, there won't be
on that? So the idea that the Tosa Rush is saying is that the whole purpose of chinuch, according to the Tosa Rush, is based on having a carryover effect to when he's a gadol. So something which happens very often will have a carryover effect. If something just happens pretty infrequently, it will not basically carry over. So basically, I would say the first technical approach is that really it's just based on frequency. So I guess, in a Hanami, Essen take place more than Los Essen, because when you encourage in a katan to do Essen, say, oh, you know, shake a lulav, whatever the case may be, you can create a regilus. When it comes to lavin, it would only come about when the katan b'mikra, you know, chances upon a lav. So I would say that's probably the simple interpretation of the Tosa Rush. The problem with that is, like you're pointing out, it's not so simple that that's such a clear cut, you know, just whether that's true. As you said, Shabbos is a perfect example where, you know, it's hard enough for people who are Shomer Shabbos to really keep Shabbos, if you understand the halachos. So, not so simple that you don't, you know, get, obviously, the case of the Vela, yes, true. And in a Jewish home, how often are you going to come across a Vela or in the street? But, let's say, perfect example of Shabbos, no, that could happen pretty frequently. And the other factor which makes this first approach problematic is that as I pointed out before, there's a machlokes. I mean, what we assume, and this is our psak, about the case of katan ochel nevelos in bezin mitzvim lafrisha. That's what we paskin. There's also another mandama. The other daya is that bezin mitzvim lafrisha. And the way Rishonim Mefarshim explain that shita, what's the basis of the shita which holds that you're supposed to stop a katan from eating the bela? He says exactly the svara that the regilus of violating lavim will create an adverse impact when it becomes a gadol. So unless you want to say bedochak that the machlokes, between the two deos is in mitzias, whether it's regilus or in the shir, so it becomes a little difficult to say this pshat. Because in short, the problem with saying that really that what the rush really means that there's no regilus by lavin is the fact that it's clear from certain rishonim that Petruma Sadeshin says this, the Karen Ora and Yuvama says this. They both say the reason for that other manda amar is the fact that there is regilus by lavin. So again, unless you want to say bedochak that hagufa, the machok is between two different deos about whether there's regilus, it's a little difficult to take the lack of regilus by lavin literally. Just be, that's on our hands, yeah.
You actually what I was going to say.
Okay, that's okay. Good. So that's, I would say, that's the question on the first approach. So the proud, yeah.
Assuming that the approach agrees with the first question.
Exactly.
Maybe your approach more frequently.
Or saying they don't like it because there's an opinion who says that we do stop a
cut
from eating the veil. The reason is that it's so common. That would imply that
at least
But why would that have an impact on the impact on the cut?
It's much harder. It's much easier to do something to have a stator for it. Much easier to do. But if something's in a ragil, it could happen whenever.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to suggest something a little different, but I think parallel to that. So I'd like to suggest an alternative. So again, the first approach is that really the difference between lavin and essen and what the rush means is like the technical distinction in frequency. And we pointed out there are some problems with that approach. Although that seems to be the simplest understanding, the literal interpretation of the rush, that seems to be a little problematic. So I'd like to suggest an alternative, that what the rush really means is as follows. That really, on a frequency level, there is no difference between lavin And Esten is highlighted by those Rishonim, those Mefarshim, who say that there is Regilus technically even by Lavan. Perhaps what the Rush means by Mikre versus Regilus, to read that in light of the context of what he's saying, right? The point of the Tosa Rush is the purpose of the mitzvah of Chinuch is to ensure that we have a carryover effect on the katan as it becomes a gana. And the mitzvah of Chinuch will therefore only apply to the classification of mitzvos, which the impact of which will carry over to when he's a gana. So perhaps the mikre is basically saying happenstance, not just that it takes place less frequently, but that al pidin b'mikre, that the application of chinuch to Lavin is al pidin b'mikre, in the sense that it's like happenstance that has less of an impact.
Why?
On the katan. We'll get that in a second. On the katan moving forward. So now the question is why?
It's very simple.
What? Okay.
Very simple. Don't eat this, don't eat that. That has much effect to this mitzvah, to that mitzvah.
Okay, so why? Spell it a little better. Okay. And why is...
is actively doing something.
Versus...
passively.
Excellent. Okay, so the first, I would say, the first version, called 2a, that the reason why the chinuch as applied to Essen is more impactful than chinuch applied to Lavin is because, you know, we'll call it psychology will tell you, and we'll call it, I think behavioral psychology will tell you, that an action has a greater impact on passivity. And therefore, instructing a katan to actively perform a mitzvah, asay, will have a greater impact moving forward than instructing him to passively refrain from a lowest
action. Actively instruct him.
But what is he doing? What is his kiyum of chinuch by lava? Refraining.
Well, if that's
the kid or the guy? I mean,
the kid. I'm talking about the impact on the child. He's being told, he's being instructed both times to do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
But the difference is that when he's told to put on tzitzis, he's doing an action,
right,
which will be more impactful than the impact of refraining from eating that nevela.
I'm assuming that something
like
the kid is Cain,
he's going to
remember.
Cain? Yeah. Oh, Cain. I never heard that word. Yeah, but that's not the, because in both cases theoretically you have that.
So about the
same issue we had earlier with
yeah. So
the same issue, right? Is he going to hold that?
Yes, but that's yeah. So now yeah. So but now the machlokes is not in mitzius, whether how frequent it is. Machlokes is rather what type, meaning where do we draw the line in terms of the impact? What? Or in terms of, let's say everyone's going to agree that there is a certain level of impact even to refraining. Right? We're going to say there's a bigger impact to actively doing something, and there's a lower level impact to refraining from something. So the machlokes between those two different ayos is going to be whether that lower level impact is also included within the mitzvah.
Wait, but then,
and that's more of a lamdash machlokes than just a machlokes mitzvahs.
Then back to the question here, what about Yom Kippur?
We'll get that. We'll get back to that in a second. Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure I agree that that omission as opposed to action is necessarily more significant. So let me. So for instance, abstinence from sex. I think that there are probably right. So I think that there are probably lots of actions that are much more. I mean, that's effectively lo taseh, right?
Well, we'll see by Yom Kippur.
No,
that's not a joke. No, that's it's Inui, one of the Inuyim.
Right.
It's Tashma Mita.
But in general.
Yeah, it's a refrain.
Right, I think that I agree that there's a.
One at a time.
What?
That's what's a refrain.
Just
okay. No. In general, for a katan, he's not married, right? But I agree with the reasoning. The way I get there is when you are an omission could be the result of any number of intentions, right? Whereas you know, of all the actions in the world, putting on tzitzit, it's much easier to connect the particular it's much easier to connect the thing that's being commanded with the kavana that you want to put behind it, right? In other words,
you're saying an action is more connected to the goal
right.
of chino
an,
than
an
the,
action,
than
right?
The reason why
an action carries forward is that you're in the because there's a certain because an omission is like necessarily always, whereas an action is sort of a particular time in a particular place. You can better connect an intention with the action that will beget further doing of the action once
again,
the
not,
individual
yeah,
is available.
I think yeah,
different.
Yeah, not so different.
Yeah,
different. It's slightly
different.
Slightly different
yeah,
thing,
yeah.
But
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a
Okay. But
you have to do something.
Okay, so we're gonna tie back to the Yom Kippur
right.
thing.
Yom Kippur,
the
Yom
question
Kippur.
Is what with the key.
Lots
yeah.
of statues that are also omission. I mean, not doing like the one we brought. We said it in our case by the katan. Those things you're afraid from is also
yeah, we'll get there because that's the focus is on the positive. We'll get back to that. Okay, so the first suggestion again, we'll call it oh, not 2A, within to say that right. The first suggestion was the technical difference in frequency. The second suggestion that you know it's an alpi din in terms of the impact. Right, and the we'll call the first version of that 2A is referring to is the contrast between the kiyum of chinuch by essen, which is an action. Versus the kiyum of chinuch by lo saseh, which is a refrain. Again, slightly two different versions in terms of why, you know, an action is more impactful than a refrain. But before I go further, which is important, why this would presumably be our initial explanation of this. If you look back closely at the Lashon HaTosa Rosh, that's not the contrast he seems to be drawing. If you look back at the Tosa Rosh, what is the direct contrast that the Tosa Rosh is drawing between essen and lo saseh?
Ruggle and
No. Just when you refer, read again to him. Brian, when you want to try again, to him who ochel. So again. So is that talking about the refrain, or is that talking about?
Actually, that's an act of eating in the
veil. Exactly. This is interesting. So while. One would have, generally, you know, if you're trying to contrast the chinuch in both contexts, you say, okay, let's contrast the kiyum of chinuch in one context, the kiyum of chinuch in the other, and that would be an action versus a refrain. That was the 2A. But and again, that explanation could be true, let's say, for the other Rishonim, who again, if they agree to this general explanation of the Rush, again, they don't say that, but again, that first explanation of 2A could be true for other Rishonim, but specifically for the Tosfos of the Rush, if you look very carefully, the contrast he's drawing is not between the action of an essay and the refrain of the los essay, but it's rather the action of an essay, the action of an essay to the, we'll call it the bittel by the lav. It's coming to say that some reason, I still have to figure this out, that, let's say, the kiyum of chinuch by essen, when the katan puts on the tzitzis, is more impactful moving forward then if the katan would be mevatel the chinuch by violating the lav. Now the question is, okay, so now what's before explaining why he draws that contrast, what is the contrast? They're both actions. So why is the action of doing in the context of essen more impactful than the doing in the context of lav? One is more. Assuming that we're rejecting that at the moment. But if we're assuming now that the frequency is the same, that's what I assume now. Assuming that the frequency is the same.
There's a general idea that when you do one thing bad, that doesn't make you a bad person, but it's the opposite of doing a good thing on some level helps. You know, each time.
Okay, could be.
So you said that the. Will be more impactful than being mevatel of the chinuch that he's being given.
Yeah. So
I mean, it doesn't say that anybody told him. Like, it doesn't say that anybody told him don't eat the veils. He wanted to eat the veils anyway. that he was eating the velos because he found a piece of the velo. I'm just saying, okay, no. So when he grows up, like, okay, we could easily get himself eating the velo.
Exactly. So the chiluk seems to be as follows: that when we're talking about being mekayim the essay, so the point is the father or the gadol says, put on the tzitzis is a mitzvah. So it's in a way getting closer to your idea, a little different application of it, is that the messaging is clearly attached to the action. Do this action of putting on tzitzis because that's a mitzvah, therefore...
Exactly.
With a different application of it, because we're trying... Exactly. But here, we let it slide, we let the katan eat the nevela, which basically means he finds in the street and we just keep silent. So the Rosh is basically saying, that's b'mikra al pi din, because that's not going to have an impact on him. He hardly knows that it's a problem. He doesn't know what shechita is. So he grabs a piece of chicken in the street from a vendor. He doesn't know that it doesn't have a good hechsher.
What if he doesn't know?
He has no answer to it.
Hold off on that for a moment.
What if he doesn't? Very common that a...
So again, the whole point of Bezin Mitzuvah Lafrisho is that if he's about to do something...
Right.
Bezin, the point of contrast is that when there's a context to his action, we're saying, oh, do this, that's more impactful than if he just does something on his own. Even if he might know it himself,
right.
The fact that the gadol is not there, let's say, framing his action, could have an impact, even if
I
he himself knows.
The impact was that he doesn't know.
That's one version of it.
How does that version work?
What?
How does that mean?
Well, the Rosh is saying in general, and I think the classic case is that he doesn't know. But I'm saying, even if he, you're asking a question, let's say he does know. So I'm saying perhaps even there's less of an impact because he's not being told and his actions aren't being framed by a specific, tzivui, specific command, don't do this, do that.
Okay.
Just want to finish the section before we come back?
Sure.
So basically, in short, I think what the Tosfos, again, the two versions called 2A and 2B. That 2A, again, approach number 2 is that it's a fundamental distinction. It's a mikra al-pidin in terms of what the relative impact that the chinuch will have. 2A was that the distinction between the action by the essay and the refrain by a los assay. We pointed out that might work for other Rishonah, but not so much the lashon of the Tosa Rush. Pointed out the Tosa Rush to be, again, within this Alpidin, is that the action, which is framed by, oh, do this, this is a mitzvah, will be more impactful than just letting something slide when he does it on his own. The one point to be made is that it's an interesting contrast that the Tosa Rush, it's a strange contrast that the Tosa Rush is drawing, because it's a little apples and oranges, right? If you're trying to compare the chinuch in two contexts, so presumably, let's say that's what we initially said that our first version, 2A, is that let's compare the kiyum of chinuch in one realm with the kiyum of chinuch in the other realm. Here, he's like comparing the kiyum of chinuch in the realm of Essen to the bittel of chinuch in the realm of Lo Sa'aseh.
They're both in action.
Oh. So again, while it's strange, it seems why the Tosa Rush does this is because he completely accepts our previous analysis. Since a refrain, for whichever svar you go, is completely inconsequential, or at least inconsequential enough to be significant, it's not significant. So therefore, the Tosa Rush thinks we're never going to take into account a refrain. That's never going to be under discussion. So therefore, the only contrast he can draw is, what is the action that's going to be taking place in both realms? So the action is going to take place in both realms, in the context, in the realm of Essen, it's going to be the Kiyum, when you perform the mitzvah sasei. And the realm of Lo sasei, the only action to speak of is the Bittel, and therefore that's why he draws it. So while it's a strange comparison, it seems to be apples and oranges, I'd like to suggest, in line with what Yehuda is saying, that perhaps the reason why he draws that, let's say, that strange distinction is because he feels you have to compare actions, because in the context of chinuch, specifically the perspective of the Tosa Rush, where it's all about the impact moving forward, really you have to focus on actions and not on refrains.
Yeah, that's not what Aram said before. Also, that was really good when he came this year. But he said the Rambam says that one gather against the rayos, against the morality, is to be full of Torah and full of mitzvahs, and then it'll be protected. I think that's what he's saying. That's exactly what the Tosa Rush is saying, according to what you're saying, that if he's with mitzvahs, that'll have more impact on him.
Mm-hmm, positive.
And that'll protect him from even if he's in the veil every now and then.
Interesting.
It's the Shalom will be protected.
Interesting. Interesting, Osafa. Okay, so now that we... Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I don't quite have any thoughts on that, but I...
it's okay.
So I have a... thought. So I have an intuition that might cause us difficulty for our earlier reasoning. So before we had agreed, I think the Rosh accepted it that that it's easier to pair with an action. It's easier to pair the action, the thing that you want done, with the intention with which you want it done. Right, that it's a mitzvah. Okay, fine. I have an intuition though that so for mitzvah la taseh. So what's required for that? Basically, self-control. Right, and the reason for which is to say, like, the ability to abstain from something, right? And now, the very reason why this category of mitzvot we decided was not a good candidate for chinuch was because either the performance, which is a non-performance of them, is so often. It's so frequent, which is say all the time, except when you're violating it, that it's impossible to exactly connect for a child the intention with which you want the mitzvah done with the performance, which is say non-performance of the action that you don't want done. However, that discipline that's required, it seems to be like trans-substantive, which is to say applicable across mitzvot lo taseh in a way that the, I don't know, will or volition that's required for mitzvot aseh is not. Which is to say that, like, with mitzvot lo taseh, all you're doing is basically teaching somebody or trying to inculcate temperance, right? Like, don't yield to the passions that are causing you to, that might lead you to murder, steal, rape, etc. You're basically, you can be pretty rough, actually.
You're teaching a child not to rape?
And imprecise. No. Hold on.
Let's take things.
You can actually get away with being relatively imprecise about the thing that you want done, or say the thing you don't want done, when it comes to mitzvah lo taseh, because basically the same quality of character is required for all.
Don't turn on the light.
What?
And shout.
Yeah. So that's a good. Right. So there's probably a category of mitzvah lo taseh for which it's not the case. There's also probably a large portion of them for which this is the case.
I would say probably the taseh as well.
Yeah, you can argue that same idea of self-control,
no,
although manifested differently, is also present when it comes to, you know...
In what? So give me an example.
I'm saying...
Some degree of tenacity that's required.
Yeah, no, tenacity that's... But tzedakah? No, there's no self-control required.
You bring your money.
What?
I don't need my money.
No. Not in the way... No. Okay, self-control is bad. Like...
No, there's a difference between not eating in the Vela and giving away your money. Not giving away your... I mean, yes, they're both affecting you, but not eating...
You're yielding... Mitzvah lo taseh
requires you to give up on something that you would...
Yeah,
would normally want.
Right. Lots of the mitzvah taseh function, maybe not designed that way, but function to limit your yielding to particular passions. And it just seems as though temperance that's required for that is actually like a pretty simple thing to get across in a way that, you know, performing dozens and dozens of individual mitzvot aseh is not easy to get across. You actually have to specify them, which is exactly why we had said this was earlier a good candidate for chinuch. Anyway.
Interesting.
So, yeah, interesting.
Okay, this one up. We have like 15 minutes left, so I'm gonna just, at this point maybe go straight, and I'll take up. You know, I'm around always. I'll take all questions and discussions.
Sorry,
after. No, it's great. I love the. This is certain because I want to also keep up with Seder because I don't want you guys. So again, so let's. Yeah, but it's all good conversations and all good, you know, food for thought and discussion during Seder as well. Fine.
I don't need to get mustard.
No, it's all good. It's all integrated. It's the lumdas and the ashkenaz should all be one. Yeah. So basically, like, based on that which we were developing, right, for sure, according to this more also this fundamental approach, this the second approach, that the difference between chiluk, between the essen and the losase is not frequency, but rather, you know, the impact it has, based on the fact that essen is about a positive kiyum, and a losase is about a refrain. So now it's important to go back to the example of Yom Kippur. And now just to realize that when all the Rishonim basically say that, oh, although Yom Kippur are refraining from these actions, achila, shtia, etc., really it's all an essay of the Inisim Es Nafsho Seichem, we can now appreciate that just a bit better. That's not just a... I mean, again, once the chiluk between essen and losas, it's not like a gzeiros akasav. Gzeiros akasav, you know, that, oh, chinuch, which is only derabban anyways, but it's a gzeiros akasav that it only applies to essen. So then you can say, okay, technically, Yom Kippur, you know, is an essay. Gemarnu, it fits into that category. But once the chiluk at hand is between a positive kiyum and really a passive, you know, refrain, so then it becomes very significant, and we'll get to this good intro to really the limit for the rest of the summer, about the nature of Inisim Es Nafsho Seichem. When we say that the inuyim, the refrains from Achila, Shtiyah, etc., is a kiyum essay of Inisim Es Nafsho Seichem, it's not just an Isser essay. It's not just that, oh, we learn basically an Isser from the Lashon of an Asay. No, here it wouldn't suffice to have an Isser essay. You need a kiyum essay for this chiluk. It needs to be that there's a positive kiyum associated with the Inisim Es Nafsho Seichem.
It's still done passively,
though.
What? It's still done passively, though.
But the important thing is, it doesn't matter how it's done, it's all about the impact. And this really sheds light that when it comes to the inuyim of Yom Kippur, and we'll get to this as we go further, that's about not eating. It's not just an Isra Achila of not eating. It's about how the impact of not eating will generate a positive inuy.
Hunger.
The different, and we'll get to this, the different versions. Let's be a whole one of those. My Dalad on Beis is the gather of inoy, is it a tsar? And somehow that's like a kapara, to be mitzar yourself? Is that the positive value? Or perhaps inoy, we'll suggest then, is this pure focus on spirituality. And the reason why we refrain from the inuyim is because those inuyim represent physicality. The basic physical actions. And by refraining from those actions, we're basically creating a positive inui. Inui by not just tsar, not just a positive tsar, but a positive focus on the spiritual messages of the day. So in short, this, seemingly, right, the sugi, which doesn't seem to, you know, relate to the essence of Yom Kippur, it really does. From this application, the fact that the Inisim Es Nafsho Seichem, all the inuyim of Yom Kippur are grouped along with the essen, and the essen which are defined as positive cumin, it works out very nicely with an approach which will develop, you know, in the future, that really the focus of the inuyim of those refrains, that it's not just that we refrain from certain actions, but rather that by refraining from those actions, we generate a positive sense of inuy. And we'll get to what exactly the inuy is, either that could be tsar or a focus on certain, you know, spirituality, but that's a very important yesod moving forward about the nature of the inisim Es Nafsho Seichem. And just to point out, I think the fact that the Rishonim here, again, all focus on the fact that the Inisim Es Nafsho Seichem is an essay, again, I think also is another raya to the approach we were saying before, the fundamental approach. Because if, let's say, the Tosa Rush, the chiluk between Mikra and Regilus was just a technical, you know, frequency factor, so really, what the Tosa Rush, the way the Tosa Rush should have justified Yom Kippur, it's sort of like we said before by Shabbos, is that how often will a kid want to eat in Yom Kippur? Pretty often, right? So if the reason for Essen is really just it's regilus, it's more frequent, then you'd expect the Rishonim not to say, oh, fundamentally, the Inuyim, it's an essay, it's a kiyum essay. Forget that. Just say, it's frequent.
Once a year.
What?
Once a year.
But
when it happens,
it's more likely to go to McDonald's, like,
I mean, Lulav's once a year also.
It's happening, it's incorrigible, yeah. Though.
What?
It's happening, it's pretty not incorrigible.
It's present.
Persistent. Yeah. Not persistent.
We get
ongoing.
The idea.
Not even ongoing, but
we get the
perpetual.
Idea. Perpetual,
yes.
Perpetual, exactly. Okay, good. So, I think that's another raya that really what's at work within the Tosa Rosh and perhaps always be shown. It's not just a frequency question, it's rather fundamentally, is this a positive Kiyum essay, which is Al Pidin impactful, or is it more of a refrain, which will Al Pidin be considered B'mikra, will be less impactful, which I think is just another, just to sum up that discussion. Okay, fine. So now,
why is it that my parents told me not to turn on the light?
What?
Why did my parents tell me not to turn on the light?
Yeah, see, they still
do. No, I'm not understanding the question.
I think he wants to say that turning on the light is also supposed to instill within you some sort of.
It's us. So why is it that we
encourage children to do silence?
We in practice we do mechanic for
like. Oh, you're asking the nice.
Yeah.
Okay, separate. That's a separate Shabbos. We'll get there. We'll get there. Separate question.
It wasn't here. It's just that it was.
Yeah. Right. Might be right.
Separate. Okay. I just we have a couple minutes left. I want to be able to catch up to Shir to where guys are in the Seder. Okay. Fine.
Gotta get to Musser.
Exactly. Fine. So again,
for the college as well. Or
for guys who want to. Yeah. I just focus. So So basically, it's very important, the perspective of the Tosa Rosh, it's clear that we've been discussing, is that the focus of the mitzvah of chinuch is the impact that it will have on the chinuch, on the katan moving forward. It's very important. So, right? So with that in mind, right, again, the focus of the mitzvah of chinuch, according to Tosa Rosh, seems to be on the impact that it will have on the katan moving forward. So now, let's look to see how the mitzvah of chinuch will be formulated according to Tosa Rosh. See what I mean in just a moment. So the Pashas, you would say, because the focus, according to the Rush in these Mefarshim, is on the impact that the Chinuch will have on the Katan moving forward, you would assume, the simple approach is to say, therefore the mitzvah of Chinuch will be Chal on the Katan himself. As you saw in the Rishonim in Brachos, we'll get to in just a moment, this is subject to a Machokes Rishonim, right? About whether the mitzvah of Chinuch is the Chiyuv Chal on the Katan, or is the chiyuv chal on the father / the gadol? Do we say midrabanan the katan or midaraisa? Katan is not subject to any mitzvahs. Do we say midrabanan there is now a mitzvah for the katan? He is subject to a mitzvah. Or is it that, no, the father is mitzuveh to be mechanech his child? So that's the machlokes we'll get to in just a moment. So at first glance. Sort of. That's a midaraisa. But yeah, parallel. Before the bar mitzvah? Yeah. So I would say the simple approach, the Tosa Rosh, is the simple understanding, since the focus is on the Katan, therefore the mitzvah should be formulated as a chiyuv on the Katan. So I wanted to see this more in depth, but if everyone brought their Gemara and Brachos, just to see where this machlokes comes up and why it matters whether it's a mitzvah on the Katan or the Gadol. So we'll see in the machlokes between Rashi and Tosas and Brachos, Memchesam and Aleph, this has a big nafkamina in terms of the status of Bar Chiyuva, in terms of the ability of a Katan to be Motzi, Motzi Gadol, Memchesam and Aleph. Fine. So, okay, we don't have as much time as I wanted to. So basically, just to summarize outside, the Gemara on Chaf, on the base, basically said what? And if anyone summarized when the Gemara is asking Chaf on the base, what's the Maskana of the Gemara at least?
The Maskana is that a Derabanan could be mostly a Derabanan, not the right, and that Katan is a Derabanan.
Exactly. Right? Let's say Katan or an Isha who's only a Mitzuvah and a Mitzvah, Midrabanan, can only be Motzi, a man, if that man is only Chayib in the Mitzvah Midrabanan. So again, a Bar Chiyuva Midrabanan can only be Motzi another Bar Chiyuva Midrabanan, but a Bar Chiyuva Midrabanan cannot be Motzi a Bar Chiyuva Midaraisa. That seems clear on Chaf on the base. But then on Memches Omen Aleph, the question that both Rashi and Tosos bring up there, I would have liked to read this inside, but everything inside, but we'll leave it to specific lines, just outside. Basically, the way Rashi and Tosos read the Gemara is that the Gemara is basically saying, or the line is, that once you eat a kezias of Dagon, you could be motzi someone, right, in Berchos HaMazon, someone who's even chayev midaraisa. So even though when you eat only a kezias of Dagon, you're only chayev in benching midrabanan, yet, even though you're only a bar chiyuva midrabanan, you can still be motzi someone who's chayev midaraisa. So that basically, Rashi and Tosas are basically addressing the obvious question, is this the blatant stira between Mem Chesam and Aleph, where it sounds like a Bar Chiyuva Midrabanan can be Motzi Bar Chiyuva Midoraisa, and Chaf on the base, where Bar Chiyuva Midrabanan cannot be Motzi Bar Chiyuva Midoraisa. So Rashi and Ches Omer Aleph, Dira Matzal Achi Yochol Kezayis Dagan, raises this question. He says, V'im Tomar Bekatan Shehegiel Lechinach Halo Amar Hachi. Right, when it comes to a katan and chaf on the base, it's clear that a bar chiyuva midrabanan cannot be motzi a bar chiyuva midoraisa. So why over here in our Gemara does it sound like bar chiyuva midrabanan can be motzi bar chiyuva midoraisa? Please, Aaron, read the big line. The answer is hahu.
Hahu afil midrabanan lo michayev de ale daavu afu de rame mechanuk.
So what does Rashi hold?
That or a katan can never really be considered a bar chiyuva even midrabanan, because it's not, he's not commanded to do anything. His father is commanded to make him do something.
Exactly. So Rashi basically holds that the big nafkamina in terms of the dinam of bar chiyuva, in terms of being motzi others, that because Rashi, and we'll see a number of places, Rashi Lashitasa holds that the chiyuva chinuch is chal on the father, so therefore you can't be considered bar chiyuva midrabanan. Then Tosfos, which Tiro Maschil, you know, Ad, starts with Menchesem and Aleph and goes to Menchesem Beis. I would have loved to have done this all inside, but now I'm just going to have to skip to the, see, do you have it, Brian, the second wide line?
What
second
is?
Line from the top. This is the Kashali Pirusha. First he quotes Rashi.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Kashali Pirusha, the Kalmankal came in Jim and Torah.
So that's a separate question. He's basically saying that, and they, why does it make sense that a bar chiyuva midrabanan could be motzi a bar chiyuva midoraisa? Exactly. Vote. Yeah.
What does it mean that he's basically, that's the question of the bar chiyuva. It says, oh, that the father is on the chiyuva midrabanan, and the sakhi motzi him. According to Rashi, that doesn't make sense.
Exactly. So in essence, Tosfos, this is the way it's learned by many, doesn't say as clearly as I would have wanted, but it seems like Tosfos is rejecting Rashi and saying, what do you mean that the chiyuv is not chal? What do you mean the chiyuv is chal on the father, not the child? What do you mean? Really, the chiyuv of chinuch is chal on the katan.
At least.
So again, so at first glance, you would say, look, Tosfos Rush works so well. Bali Tosfos Lashitasa. Tosfos Rosh thinks that the focus of chinuch is on the katan, and therefore it would make sense to formulate the mitzvah in terms of the katan.
Why do you think Tosfos Rosh is going down to formulate that shita?
I was saying, because Misfar, we'll explain, we'll give an alternative, but if you think the mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah is all about the katan and his future, I would say that's the alternative. The first approach is to say if the chiyuv, the focus of the mitzvah is all on the katan, so the chiyuv should be formulated in terms of the katan. We'll get back to that option in a moment. This is the first option. That's the only one. The first option is important because according to this explanation, right? If the whole focus of the mitzvah, again, is on the katan, and the chiyuv is chal on the katan. So according to such an approach, it would make sense that there be no chilek between, let's say, the gadol or shar gadol. Sorry, the father or shar gadol. As we see, the next big approach in the Rishonim, as you saw, is that, right, this first approach we've been discussing is that the mitzvah chinuch is limited to mitzvah aseh. The second approach offered in the Rishonim is that, no, it's limited to the father. Right, but according to this first understanding, that the whole focus of the mitzvah is on the katan, and the mitzvah is, and the chiyuv is chal on the katan, so since the whole mitzvah is on the katan, there seemingly shouldn't be any impact in terms of which gadol is at play. Because the whole point is, the whole focus is the mitzvah on the katan, right? And any gadol who's involved, his involvement would be midin arvus, right? Just like any gadol to any other person, you know, has a certain responsibility midin arvus to help facilitate someone else's key mitzvah. So again, since the focus of the mitzvah and the chiyuv is formulated in terms of the katan, therefore there shouldn't be a chilek between the father and any other gadol. So I think that works out very nicely. Number one, the fact that the Rashba, we point out the Rashba who accepts this first approach, this first general approach, that the mitzvah of chinuch is limited to mitzvahs aseh, and he specifically rejects the other limitation to av. And he says that no, it applies, it's limited to esen, but it applies to all gedolim equally. But I think that, based on this svara, it makes a lot of sense. Those two things go in hand in hand. Because if the mitzvah is formulated in terms of the katan, right, again, put it all together. The reason why it's limited to esen, as the Tosafot Rush points out, is because the focus is on the katan. If the focus is on the katan, it's mistaber that the chiyuv could also be formulated in the katan, in terms of the katan. And once the chiyuv is all formulated in terms of the katan, therefore there shouldn't be any chilukim in terms of the gadol. Because who cares about the gadol? Then the chiyuv is not chal on the gadol. Last points before we go. But as Aaron pointed out, even according to the Tosafot Rush, that the focus of the mitzvah chinuch is on the future of the katan, it could still be that the chiyuv is formulated as being chal on the father, but a nuance that the chiyuv is chal on the father, but the purpose is that the father basically sets his child in the right direction. There's an alternative if you wonder. That even if it's chal on the father, there could be other reasons. According to the Tosafot Rush, that the focus of the mitzvah of the is all on the future of the katan. If the Tosafot Rush would hold that the mitzvah, the chiyuv is chal on the father, you'd have to say this in between nuanced position that the chiyuv is chal on the father, but the purpose of the chiyuv on the father is to make sure that it impacts the son in the right way. Just one second. And I think an approach, a rishon, which really highlights this nuanced middle position, is Rashi and Sukkah. And with this, we'll close. Rashi and Sukkah, the Gemara there, basically in passing, mentions the mitzvah of chinuch for a sukkah, in the context of, you know, ketanim by sukkah. And there, in the Gemara, says, midrabanan hud mechayev, says there's a mitzvah of chinuch on somebody. So the way Rashi formulates it, I think very well, works out very well, l'shitaso, is referring to a gadol. Right? Rashi there says, if anyone has it inside, I'll read it inside here, Rashi says, shehizkiko lahargil esakata. Right, we're zokik, or zokik, whatever the verb is, we force the gadol, seemingly, to be mechanech, to be maragil, the katan, le mitzvah, shurayim. So again, it seems like the mitzvah of chinuch is on the gadol, but yet Rashi then continues, what's the purpose of it? Kedei shiye mechunach v'ragil le mitzvahs. So again, the same Rashi who formulates the mitzvah on the gadol, then says that the purpose of the mitzvah, although it's chal on the gadol, but the purpose of it is to have the impact on the katan. So again, and again, the fact that the focus is on the gadol, again, is Rashi l'shitaso to Rashi and Brachos, where we just saw Rashi and Brachos that the chiyuv is not on the katan, that's why he's not a bar chiyuvah. So these two Rashis work out well together. So in short, within the Tosafot Rush and within this whole focus on the katan, there's still two ways to formulate the chiyuv. Either the chiyuv is chal on the katan, or the chiyuv is chal on the father to ensure the katan is on the right track. And just the last, really last point, is that while all his Rishonim were specifically limiting the mitzvah of chinuch to mitzvahs aseh, the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Perak Yud Zayin, you'll see this inside, Halachos Chav Zayin to Chav Ches, explicitly applies the mitzvah chinuch to Lavin as well. So he is the opposite.
He also says on the father.
We'll get to that in a moment, but just in terms of this issue, whether it's limited to Essen, so all those we've shown him say it's limited to Essen, and the Rambam specifically says it's not. So with that, we will close, and I'll take time for people to go to Musar, and anyone who has any questions, feel free.
Are there any formulations of mitzvah chinuch that doesn't have to do with the creature of the